Between now and Christmas, we'll be looking at some of the Christmas accounts in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. We'll start today with the message to Mary about the baby who would come. Next week, Joseph. Jesus will be born on Christmas Eve, which works out just great. The wise men will come after that, so everything fits nice and tidy. So, let's go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word together. Our Father, we are just thankful for you, for your word, and that it's true. And I pray that you would speak to us now through your word. Give us grace as we read it, to understand it, to believe it. We pray that we would see your son clearly, and help us to worship you even now. As we hear your word, help us to respond to you well. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes you get a message that's life-changing, that throws your life upside down or changes the course of your life drastically. My wife and I got one of those announcements a few years ago. I got a message that changed the course of our lives. We were not the kind of couple who thinks a lot about children and prepares for children, tries to make them, and prepares for life with them. I mean, we understood how babies were made, but we weren't like trying to make a child. And so when we had some indication that Suleika might possibly be pregnant, we needed to confirm this. But I was the kind of person who was a little bit uncomfortable and maybe even a little bit embarrassed to think that I would be a father and that people might know this. And so we went to the grocery store to get the pregnancy test. I was the kind of man who was a little bit uncomfortable even being in that aisle where the pregnancy tests were. But it was my job to get it, you know. And so, we found the right thing, and we're in the line to check out, and there's a lot of people there, and it's right by our house, and, you know, there might be people we know, and I'm not sure I'm ready for this and ready for the world to know that fatherhood is upon me. And so I think I won't go to the regular checkout where there's the cashier swiping your things, right? I'll go to the automatic checkout. Because that seems a little more discreet, doesn't it? You don't have to deal with so many people. So I wait in that line, and I get up there, and I had forgotten that at this particular grocery store, this automatic checkout had this computerized voice that said what you were checking out. You know, like if you put bananas on the scale, it says, you know, bananas, 2 pounds, you know, in this computerized voice. So I got up there and scan it. It's like, 1 pregnancy test. So we got the thing, and we, you know, go home, and I just remember waiting, you know, while this was being used, sort of pacing around the house, and there's the glorious announcement, and we cried and hugged, and, you know, life has been different ever since, and wouldn't trade it for the world. But, and just by the way, before I move on from this, young people, you may not realize this, but when you make a child, someone has to watch that child like 24 hours a day for years. And so just think about that. That's a real thing. It's something that happens. So sometimes you get a life-changing message. It changes your life forever. Sometimes we receive a message that has the potential to change our lives, or life can take an unexpected turn that changes everything. It might be a great thing. You know, it might be a job offer that you weren't expecting. It might be that you found love. Maybe it's a baby. Maybe it's something else. Or maybe it's something that's not so great. A relationship lost, or a job lost, or you think of, I was just thinking of relatives of my wife in Puerto Rico. Like, she had a cousin who lost his home, you know, in a blink of an eye, you know, didn't something like that happens and it changes your life forever. I think of some of you who have come from a church situation that didn't go the way you expected, right? You thought everything was just going to keep going like normal from here on, and something happens, and it's hard, and it can really drastically change the course of your life. It's not something you expected, and you might say, you know, this isn't what I thought would happen. This isn't what I prepared for. It's not what I planned for. It's not how I thought everything would go down. And you wonder, how do I respond to this? How should we respond when we get these life-changing messages? And so today's text that we're going to look at is about how God sent Mary an unexpected life-changing message, and it's about how she responded to it. The text is Luke 1, 26 to 38, and here's what we'll see as we look at this text. We'll see, first of all, what that life-changing message was that God sent to Mary, God's life-changing message. Number two, how Mary responded, and number three, how should we respond when we receive a life-changing message? So those three things, what the message is, God's life-changing message. Number two, how Mary responded. Number three, how we should respond. So let me read the text. This is Luke 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." We'll stop there, and I'll read that last verse in a second. Number one, God's life-changing message. Mary was an ordinary girl from a small town. She probably was a teenager. In the first century in Israel, you could be betrothed at the age of 12 or 13. So maybe she's a teenager. We didn't read the section that comes before this in Jerusalem with Zechariah and Elizabeth and the angel and the Day of Atonement in the temple and all the excitement and the crowds shouting and wondering where is Zechariah and all the excitement in Jerusalem. But you could just imagine, like, there's all that excitement. And then in this section that we read, it just seems very quiet. Right, it's in a small town, Galilee, out of the way. It was the Canterbury of Israel. things were quiet, and she was just an ordinary girl, a teenager, doing her thing. She was betrothed, which meant that the groom's father, Joseph's father, probably would, or his family, would have already given money to Mary's father, the bride price. This was a legal arrangement, and they're waiting for their wedding day, but it was already a legal situation, and she could be called the wife already in that culture, even though the wedding hadn't happened, they weren't living together yet. And it was an ordinary day, and you can just imagine Mary doing chores around the house, sweeping up, doing the dishes, putting the addresses on the wedding invitations, you know, calling her mother and making sure she spelled the relatives' names right on the invitations, whatever she was doing, just an ordinary day, and she gets an extraordinary visitor. It was a quiet day in Nazareth, and the angel comes in, the amazing warrior of light, you know, dazzling, radiant angel. I taught this to the kids at youth group a couple weeks ago, and something interesting is, even though this is the Bible, there are not too many angels, you know. There are just a few angels that show up in the Bible. In very special circumstances, there are several right around this time of Jesus being born. And apart from that, you don't get so many angels. It's an unusual thing. If you saw an angel, it would be an unusual thing. And it was unusual even for these Bible characters. Here's an angel that shows up in her house with a message from God. Extraordinary visitor. And he gave her this greeting. You know, let me go back and read it. Greetings, favored woman. Like, usually when you see somebody, you know, it's like, hi, how you doing? It's not, greetings, favored woman. And then he says, the Lord is with you. Perplexing. What is that all about? And just like the scripture says, Mary is deeply troubled, confused. What is this all about? What kind of greeting is this? An angel from God in my living room saying, greetings, favored woman. What does that mean that I'm favored? What is going on here? Just an ordinary teenage girl. And the message was that the angel shared, as you are really familiar with, she will have a child. But just not any ordinary child, and not in an ordinary way, but she would have a very special child. And the angel says what this child would be like. You know, before the child is born, God knows what this baby would grow up to be. And the angel tells her ahead of time, he will be great. Every mother wants to hear that the child will be great, right? But really great. And if you compare this also with the announcement about John the Baptist in the previous section, it says that John the Baptist will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, not everybody would recognize how great he was, but this baby is great, unqualified, you know, totally great, absolutely great. He's going to be a great man. Okay, he will be the son of David. 1,000 years before, there had been a great king in Israel named David, and God had given this king a special promise that his descendant would be on the throne of Israel forever and ever. And at the time that the angel shows up in Mary's living room, the man that's the king of Israel is not a descendant of David. But the people are waiting for that time when God would fulfill his promise, keep his promise, and bring a king in the line of David. And God's promise was that this king who would come would reign forever. He would be on the throne of his father David forever. Lots of interpretations at the time about what that meant. But the angel says, your baby will be that king, the king who will reign forever, the one that God had promised, the one that God had been preparing and looking forward to, part of God's plan for centuries. Your baby's going to be the one. And the angel says, you'll name him Jesus. Luke doesn't make a huge deal about his name. Matthew does. We'll talk about it next week. But the name Jesus is the same as the Old Testament name Joshua. God saves, salvation. So the baby that would come would be the one who would bring God's salvation to the people. And then the most extraordinary thing about this child is the one who's going to reign on David's throne forever, the one who brings salvation to the people of God, is not just an ordinary person, but he is the Son of God. It says he'll be the Son of the Most High. He'll be the Son of God. And, you know, Mary's talking, asking questions like, you know, how can this happen? Because, you know, my husband and I have not come together yet, and or my fiance and I, we're not married yet. We haven't come together yet. How could this be? I do not know a man. And he says, this is going to be God's son. This isn't going to be a man's son. This is going to be God's son. And the idea in the Old Testament of the Son of God, if you look at Psalm 2, the one who is the Son of God is the King who would reign forever. It's the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. The Most High is another name for God, that he is the most powerful force in the universe, right? Or above the universe. And he will have a son. It's extraordinary. What you also see in here, it's the Son of God, but the one who brings this salvation, the only one qualified to do it had to be God, the Son of God. But he's also a person. He's also a little baby. He's going to be the son of Mary. Mary is going to have this baby. Just like you know, mothers in this room hold a little baby, Mary would bear this child. He will be a boy. He'll be a baby boy. In the extraordinary message of Christmas is that the God who created the stars and the planets and put them all in the right place, created the weather, created everything that there is, that same God became a little baby. Amazing. Now, I'm not saying Mary understood all of that quite yet perfectly, but that was the message. It's all in there, and looking back, we get it. You know, it's all there. He would have a totally unique conception. Mary said, how can this be? I do not know a man. Well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And if you compare this with the pagan myths about gods having baby, you know, demigods having babies with human women, this is not crass, it's not rude, it's holy. You know, the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. It's not violent, it's gentle. The Holy Spirit will overshadow her. This will be God's baby in a way that's totally unique. There are only two people that don't have a human daddy. The first man, Adam, right? And Jesus, the second Adam, who reverses the way that Adam messed things up. And the sign that it would all be true, Mary says, how do I know this is going to be true? And the angel says, well, look at your cousin. Look at your relative. This relative of yours who is quite elderly is about to have a baby. That's a miracle from God. The miracle in your life is going to be even greater, but you're wondering, how can this be true? Well, look at her. Go visit her. She's 6 months pregnant. Amazing. That's the sign that it would all come true. So here's the point of this. In order to carry out his amazing rescue plan, the plan of salvation that God knew from eternity past, that God had set in motion centuries earlier, in order to carry out this amazing rescue plan, God chose an ordinary girl to bear the Son of God. And he told her, you're going to bear the Son of God. Nothing is impossible for God. And this message would turn Mary's life upside down, change the course of her life forever. So now let's talk about how Mary responded. Initially, she was confused. What kind of greeting is this? Why is this angel talking to me this way? Why me? What does he mean, highly favored one? What is this all about? She's confused. She's perplexed. You would be confused and perplexed too, right? If someone had said that to you. And we're sometimes confused when we get messages that are, you know, less life-altering than this one. It's like, what is this all about? And she even questioned how this would happen. She said to the angel, how could this be? And in the previous section, Zechariah, her relative, had also said to the same angel, how can this be? When the angel said to Zechariah, you're going to have, your wife will have a baby. And he says, how could that happen? She's too old. I'm too old. How could this ever happen? And the angel said, shut up. He said, you're not going to talk for 9 months, okay? And he closed his mouth, and Zechariah wasn't able to speak for 9 months. And Mary asked the same question. How could this be? And it's like, what's the difference? Why is the angel not getting on her case for asking how can this be? And I think the difference is Zechariah asked God, how can this happen? But he asked with doubt, and Mary asked with faith. It's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to say, why is this happening? How can this happen? But Mary asked with faith. So it's okay to ask. Ask why, ask how, but ask with an open heart. Ask with faith to God. And if you think about the risk that Mary faced when the angel gave her this message, she's engaged to be married, she has a fiancé, what would he say? What's he going to do when he finds out that a baby's coming and it's not his baby? What's going to happen there? That'll mess up your life, right? What about my parents? What about his parents? What about the money? His family's already given my family money. We might have to give it back. And what if my dad's already spent it on a new truck? You know, like, what's going on here? Like, how my life is going to be a real mess. Think of the shame. What will the neighbors say? Small town. Everybody knows everybody. Think of her future. How is she going to get back on her feet after this? What if something goes wrong? What if Joseph abandons her? It's a risky proposition. But here's what she says. Let me read verse 38. Excuse me. I am the Lord's servant. The Greek word is literally slave. I am the Lord's slave. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel left her. So she says, I'm the Lord's servant. God is God. I'm a teenage girl. God's God. I'm just a person. Let him do with me whatever he wants. If this is the plan that he has for me, if this is what he's decided for me, go for it, God. I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. Go for it. May it be done to me according to your word. Have your way with me. The promise that you've made to me, keep your promise. Do what you said. Answer it. Fulfill your word in my life. She answers the angel with faith. So Mary responded with faith and with faithfulness to what the angel said. It was the perfect way to respond. It was just right. She said, I believe. I believe that your word is true. I trust in you. I don't understand everything yet, but go for it. God gave Mary a message that would change her life forever. She'd be used by God in an amazing way. She would be the one who would bear the Son of God. It's an incredible honor. But it wouldn't be easy. And she didn't even know what would all happen. She didn't know what the neighbors would say, but she didn't know what it would mean when this baby grew up and all that he would go through and the life that he would lead and what it would be like to have a child like this, how her heart would be broken. She didn't know what she was going to go through. She didn't know all the future would hold. She didn't understand everything yet. The angel told her a lot. But how does this all play out? What's going to happen here? She didn't understand everything yet. But even still, she responded with trust. She believed. And that's the right response. And I told the kids this also a couple weeks ago. That's the application for every sermon and every Bible lesson, right? Here's God's word. Believe it. Trust. Trust in God. That's how we should respond all the time to God, is to believe. So how should we respond? Sometimes God gives us a message or an unexpected turn of events happens that changes everything in ways we weren't expecting. We didn't plan for this to happen, but it happened, and how am I going to deal with this? Life is going to be very different now. How am I going to handle this? Before we talk about, though, how we can respond to those kinds of messages, we shouldn't forget the most life-changing message of all that we have all received. We should receive it. We should listen to it. And that's the message of Christmas. The same baby that God gave Mary, he also gave to you. Now, none of us is going to be pregnant and bear the Son of God. But that baby is for us. It's for you and me. He is for you and me, that same baby. The same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary may enter you and draw you to faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life with God. The message of Christmas is that God sent his Son to live the life you should have lived and die the death you should have died. The Son of God became a man so that we could become children of God. He died in our place and rose again, and all who believe can have eternal life with God. Don't resist what the Holy Spirit is doing here. If you haven't received that message yet by faith, that's the first application. That's the first thing that you need to get settled. Receive the message of Christmas with faith. Believe it. Trust in it. Be it unto me according to your word, say to God. Respond to God's message about Jesus, just like Mary did, with trust. Now, what about those other life-changing messages and turns of events? What about the things that happen to all of us where life takes a turn we didn't think it would, where we get a message? Maybe it's the pregnancy test. Maybe it's finding love. Maybe it's the pink slip, you know. Maybe you won the lottery. I'm not encouraging you to play the lottery, but if any of you does win the lottery, we have a renovation fund that we'd be happy to receive the tithe. I'm kidding, kind of kidding. Something you might receive a message that changes your life forever, and how are you gonna respond to that? Mary's a big help to us here, a big help to us. How is Mary a big help? It's not that we worship her. It's not that we pray to her. Some people like read this and they say, well, God chose Mary because she was special. It's the other way around, right? Mary was special because God chose her. She's an ordinary girl. God chose her. We don't worship her. We don't pray to her. We pray to her son. He's the Son of God. But we should honor her. We shouldn't dismiss her. We should honor her. And the way that we honor her is by following her example. Mary's a wonderful example of how to respond to God, to respond in faith. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't sinless. But she was faithful. She had faith. She had trust. And that's the way we should respond to God too, with faith, with trust. We need to trust, like Mary trusted. We need to trust that God can work out all things for good, even though it's hard right now. This life-changing message comes to you. You know that life is going to be hard for a bit, and maybe from here on out. And we need to trust that even though this isn't what we expected, it's not what we planned, it's going to be difficult, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? God can do it. God can work it out for good. He will. He'll weave it together, even the suffering, even the hard times, even the rejection that you might face. He can weave it together for good, for his glory and for your good, and it's going to be good forever. Trust that he'll do that. He will do it. And we also need to trust that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God chose a normal teenage girl in Israel to carry out his plan. And God has also chosen each one of you to do awesome work for him. in a unique way. Not the same way that Mary did, but he has amazing and good plans for each one of you. He's got important work for you to do. And he wants to use you to do extraordinary things because he's an amazing God. It's for his glory. So when you do it, the glory will go to him. He wants to use you that way. Nothing is impossible for God. His message to you is his message in his word. And he's called each one of you to trust in him, but then also to live out your faith in front of your friends and family and your coworkers and everybody around you. He's called you to that awesome work. He's calling on you to share his message with the people around you. And that's difficult sometimes, right? Because people don't always get it. They don't always want to hear it. But he's called on you to do it. And there are people in your life that you're the one who's called to share with them. Nobody else is going to do it. It's got to be you. And he's called you to do it. And he's also called on you to share his love with the people around you. Some of you, he's called on you to forgive somebody who's difficult to forgive. Some of you, he's called to care for people in their suffering and take care of them. Some of you, he's called to be there for somebody and just walk through life with them, to share his love with them. Some to provide for material needs, to share in other ways. But God has called each of you to share his love and his message with the people around you in a way that's unique to your situation. Nobody else can do it. You can do it. And that's special and that's beautiful. And so how do we respond to that? He wants us to be faithful. Like Mary was faithful, he wants us to say, have your way with me, God. I'm your servant. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. It might be difficult. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to believe. So the question for you and me is, will you trust him? Will you trust that the Lord will use you? Let's trust him together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this message, and we thank you for just the awesome message of Christmas, that you did something extraordinary by sending your Son into the world. And we pray that we could receive him by faith and also live out the reality of having him in our lives as we interact with everybody around us. Help us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.